When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Just pretty good?
I'm pretty good.
What's wrong, dear?
I don't know. I've seen better days. But I'm pretty good.
Why?
I guess I went to, you know, I've been going back and forth to Haiti, right?
Yeah, I knew that. I mean, I knew that, but I didn't know that you were talking about it.
I wasn't really talking about it, but it got to the point where I feel like I don't know how not to talk about something that's sort of overtaking my life.
Yeah, true.
I don't know how to not talk about it anymore. I'm not sharing any pictures or anything because you're not allowed to. And well, let me clarify for those who don't know what the heck we're talking about right now. I've been in the process of adopting for, gosh, 2 years now, just
yeah,
about.
That's been a long haul.
And as of the last probably, man, I want to say 8 months, there's been a little girl in Haiti that I've been in particular trying to complete this adoption and bring her home. And as it stands, things are going, you know, they're going pretty good. You know, I met the child around 8 months ago, and I've been making these periodic trips back and forth to visit her and to actually sometimes to do paperwork and sometimes to just go visit. And this last time I went, I got to stay for an extended period of time, and because my adoption is progressing, the child is not legally mine yet, obviously, or she'd be here with me, but I'm allowed to now stay with her. And this is the first time, I mean, this is the first time I've ever, I don't even babysit, okay? This is the first, this is
you know,
a,
I hope you I didn't let the adoption people know that.
No. No.
I'm
but I mean, this is the first time I've ever watched a child. Like, I mean, for a week with me and only me. Sleeping in my room, you know, just nonstop seven straight days. And I can't explain to you. I feel like I finally understand now, because I used to think moms were a little bit kind of overboard with the way they get into this very group, like, I'm a mom and you don't get me and you don't understand us and you don't know us and you're not a parent yet. And I was like, for God's sake, we all want the same thing. We want kids to be happy and healthy. What is this, like, sort of you're not in the club thing? Everyone take it down a notch. But I have to tell you that for the first time, I understand that. And I'm embarrassed to say that I do, but I do. And
experienced life in a way that I've never experienced life before, Janice. And there was, you know, the kid now knows me, obviously, and she's become super attached to me because, you know, who wouldn't become super attached when she's coming from an orphanage where there's 50 kids and four nannies, and now she's got an adult who is like all about her all the time. And I mean, she wakes up in the morning and I know this kid. I now know her routines. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I find her fascinating. And she wakes up in the morning and she stands up in her crib because she watches me and she sees when I'm awake and I can see her out of the corner of my eye because I want to sleep a little more. And I'm like, is she going to do anything? And she keeps her eye on me and I move and she's up. And I mean, she stands up and throws her arms in the air and starts jumping for me to pick her up. And, you know, she's only 20. We think she's 22 months old. You know, it's 80. We're not totally sure, but that's what we think. And when that kid did that for the very first time, I swear to you, I felt my DNA change. I felt my body change, like my whole entire being at its core fundamentally shift, like a science fiction movie. Is that weird?
No. I mean, I don't know. I've only owned dogs, but I did think your hips looked a little wider when you walked in here today.
Oh, no.
So I think something has...
You are not helping.
No, but I know.
You are not helping me.
No, but you were different today. You were different today. There's something, I hate to say this.
What?
Okay. Softer.
Oh, shut up.
Just slightly softer.
You shut up.
Just a little bit.
I'll drop the F-bomb just to make you stop saying such things.
No, but I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean there's something... I can understand that.
It's the most bizarre feeling. And I mean, it's like I'm sitting there and everything I said I would never do, right? As a parent, I thought I would never do within the first day I had broken every rule. And I was like, I will never, ever, you know, parents are wiping their kids' snot and eating with the same spoons and all of this. And I was like, I'm never going to do that. I mean, she's poor thing is sick. A lot of the kids there are sick because their immune system is compromised. So she has a bronchial infection, which you may or may not hear that I've picked up from her. Sweet little thing. Not bad, just a little bit. But I was wiping her nose, you know, because we're trouncing through the streets of Haiti. There's no clean. It's anyway, I'm wiping her friggin' nose with my shirt. I'm breaking her food up with my fingers, and it's like I'm feeding this kid for, you know, like it's the most bizarre primal feeling. I don't even know how to describe it to you. It's like we have this plate of food and we're eating together. I guess maybe because the circumstances in our particular location are unusual, but it's like I'm breaking her food up with my fingers. You know, because I don't have the silverware to like shred chicken for her, and she doesn't have all of her teeth yet, and. It's just, I can't even, and there's nothing you wouldn't do. I mean, I'm changing diapers, and let me tell you, there's poop everywhere. I mean, poop gets in places you can't imagine.
Does the baby poop too? I'm just, it just was there for the taking. I just took it. I'm sorry to ruin this tender moment.
Are you?
Please forgive
Are you
me.
Ready to be serious?
I am.
I mean, I'm talking about poop all the way up to the shoulder blades, okay? Yeah, poop. It's called a high back.
But it doesn't matter, right?
No,
it's your child.
I was like, and she's so clever. This kid's so clever. She like because the diaper's there. Next time, you know, I know, I gotta travel with all my own gear. But you know, the things there are not obviously ideal. So she's like, I mean, the kid's like doing her best to help me out with it, and she's got the feet up, but she's trying to pull the diaper out for. I mean, she's just like, you know, she's like, I can see the look on her face. She's like, sorry about this. I mean, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm in it. Here I am. I'm up to poop in my elbows. You know, we're in the little plastic tub outside. I'm trying to get it off. I mean, I'm like hand feeding this kid, wiping snot with my own hands. There's no shower there. I'm like sponge bathing a 2-year-old and trying to, and I, by the way, there was no one for me to give her to. So it's like, you can't go take a shower. I'm like with this kid. It was wild. It was the most wild experience of my life and probably the most profound. And then the absolute worst thing in the world happened when I had to leave this time. And because she has to go back for now to the what they call the Koresh, which is an orphanage where kids, of course, the idea is to adopt them out. But and it felt like the most wrong thing I've ever done in my life, leaving there. It was the worst feeling. And of course, everybody tries to prepare you and they say, don't let your child fall apart, or don't let your child see you fall apart. Don't let them see you start to cry because they feel like you can't handle their feelings when you unravel. Now, granted, let me be very clear. This is not to say that you shouldn't show your child that you have emotions and it's okay to be upset. But like to completely unravel, not a good idea. And in this particular situation, also not a good idea, because I needed to show her that I was strong, that I, you know, I could contain her feelings and all of this. So my mom was helping me. My shrink was helping me. The woman who runs the orphanage was helping me. I walked away from that kid. I swear to God, I cried all the way home. I cried all night long. It was the worst feeling I've ever had in my life. The worst feeling. The worst. The worst feeling. And it's, I don't know, Janice, it definitely is. And then all of a sudden now, moms, so I've been home for about 4 or 5 days or something. Moms can see it on me. They can smell it. And they're coming up to me and talking to me about their kids and like, how, you know, gosh, everything. How to sneak them vegetables in their food. How to hide. Because, by the way, are you ready for the irony of all ironies? She hates vegetables. And I would try to, so I can get her to eat. She likes starch, unfortunately, because, by the way, my food options are limited. She likes meat, which was, I can feed her chicken, I can feed her fish, I can feed her steak. I got through all three of those, or beef, whatever it was. I tried every vegetable. I tried peas, I tried carrots, I tried broccoli, I tried tomatoes, I tried zucchini, I tried everything. Everything they gave me. And she, an avocado, and she'd put it in her mouth, like she'd lunge forward for it. She's actually a pretty good little eater. And then it would get in her mouth and she'd make this face. First she would register this face of disgust. And then she would give me a look while simultaneously reaching in her mouth, scraping the vegetable off of her tongue, throwing it at me, and the look would be like, how dare you? Like, what kind of sick weirdo are you to feed this toxic thing to me? How funny is that? How, what kind of, can you believe the irony of this? So, of course, I've been getting like the Jessica Seinfeld cookbook of like hiding spinach in the brownies and all of this. But I gotta tell you, I will say for the first time that I get what these women mean when they say you don't even begin to understand until you've done it or you've lived it or where things go or how things happen or how you change. And I said to my shrink, I was like, I feel like, and now all I care about is the world. I care about the world being a better place for her. All I can think about is making sure I have all the right life insurance policies, making sure that, you know, the schools are safe for her, and researching nursery schools. And I look at the world in a totally different way, almost as though I'm dying and I need my progeny to have this world where she's safe to live in. It's the, I don't even know. And I used to yell at moms all the time about like, you got to put yourself first. You got to put yourself first. And yet I find that it's the last thing you want to do. You become irrelevant. You don't care if you've eaten. You don't care if you get sick. You don't care if you're not sleeping. You don't care if you've got to stay in a tent with 1,000 mosquito bites and no shower for 20 days if you need to stay there for that kid. It's the last thing you think about.
I'm intrigued that there's the millions of women out there who have listened to you and heard you are all sitting there in their chair right now just going, mm-hmm.
I know.
That's what I'm talking about, girl.
I know. And it's not, I'm not going back on anything I ever said.
I know.
Meant everything I've ever said. But what I am acknowledging right now is I truly understand how hard it is. I truly get for the first time how foreign it feels once there is that little being in your world to put yourself first, how strange that becomes and how wrong it feels, even though it's so right, and how hard it is to take care of them, how hard it is to make sure that they're okay and that they're getting, you know, even just getting them something like a vegetable. And I get it. I get it in a whole nother way. And all I'm going to say is, you know, hopefully I will get her home soon. And boy, is this going to be an interesting year. That's all I'm saying. It's a whole new world, man. It's like a George Orwell novel. It's a brave new world, Janice.
Well, I mean,
do you babysit?
I have.
Good to know.
Oh, no.
I can't wait. There's another one called The Blowout, where the poop doesn't go up the back. It comes out the sides of the diaper. Yeah, look out for that one.
I just think it's not that you've never not thought about other people, but it's funny what happens when you don't think about yourself and you think about somebody else.
Wow.
And please take this the right way.
No, I'll tell you. It's
you,
all of those narcissistic feelings are suddenly gone, which is good and bad. You do need to be, so I'm not ever going to go back on what I said. All I'm saying is it's amazing. It is amazing how it truly changes you. I can't even describe it. It's just, you feel like, I feel like this something in me has died, not in a bad way, but like that there's this new person in.
Yeah, it's not dying.
It's almost like being reborn. And now I'm going to have to relearn how to be this new person without going to these other extremes.
Do I have to watch you become the new person, please?
No, don't let me become all like sanctimonious about it either.
Yeah, just do it. Don't
let me become one of those sanctimonious people.
Do it on your own time, man. I don't want to be part of it. I just really don't.
I just can't wait to watch you change a poop diaper.
I ain't touching. No.
Holy mother.
I've done.
You wonder how one of those little kids gets that stink in there. It's incredible. My God, such a smell comes out of such a tiny little person. And they're so angelic. They smell like baby, and their skin is the softest, and they're so pure, their little bodies. And boy, that poop is just toxic. Wow.
That's fantastic. Okay, so let's take a break, and then we'll come back and maybe do something other than poo.
Okay. It wasn't about poo.
No, I know.
Did you think it was cool. The takeaway?
No, I didn't take away poo. It's a lovely thing that's happening to you. I think it's very cool.
Yeah, but poo, it's there, boy. It's a part of it.
I'm so happy 'cause today found my friends in my head. I'm so ugly. That's okay 'cause so are you. Look on here's Sunday morning. It's every day.
Okay, Jay.
Yes.
Are you ready for a few fat melting tips?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Fat incinerating.
I'd like that.
Did you just burp into my microphone?
I did. I'm so sorry. I was so rude, but I tried to hide it.
Oh, you didn't do a very good job.
No,
you scarred our listeners.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm going to try to give them a good tip. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So these magazines, they always reach out to me and they're like, what's the number one thing somebody can do today to make their life different tomorrow? But the other one I got, so I'm always like, oh, for God's sake, you know, so I'm like, okay, throw the junk foods out of the cabinet. Take a 15-minute cat nap. Oh, you know, I try to indulge them. So the one I got the other day was, what can we do that will make us healthier 5 minutes from now?
Oh, man. Well.
I mean, how dumb is that? However, I did come up with an answer.
No, I can see you
came up with an answer. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Water.
Oh, yeah.
Water is the answer.
Yep.
Water is the answer, and here's why.
Yep.
I mean, for all the obvious reasons, it helps to flush toxins out of the body. It helps to boost your energy level and all of that. But when it comes to fat metabolism, basically, when your cells are dehydrated, they don't take up glucose very efficiently. So this is, of course, can make people more prone to diabetes. But at the same time, when that happens, it can cause metabolism to stall. Because think about it. We want to make sure that our cells are able to process blood sugar, and exercise helps us do that. Insulin resistance is the opposite of that. But hydration helps your cells function properly and do that. It helps keep your metabolism going. But when they're dehydrated, studies show that stalls metabolism because they can't take up glucose.
Hmm.
How about that? Here's another one about water that I thought was kind of interesting. When your blood is more dilute, more hydrated, your cells release more fat. It's called lipolysis. Your body is better able to metabolize fat and release the fat, burn the fat from your exercise or your activity. Hydration.
Lipolopolis? This is the most bizarre
It's
word.
Called lipolysis, but really it's just the process of burning fat, metabolizing fat, stored fat from your cells.
Okay.
So that's what a fat cell is. It's just fat stored energy, right?
Okay.
You eat food. You don't utilize food as energy. Right. You eat food. It has calories. Calories is a unit of energy. You consume the energy, but you don't burn the energy. So it gets stored as fat in your cells, a fat cell. And the process of burning that fat, releasing that fat, utilizing it, is called lipolysis.
Oh, okay.
And hydration is key. So not only are you going to have you know, the better looking skin and the better energy and the, you know, all of that good stuff. It also really does wonders for your metabolism. How about that for me coming up with an answer?
No, that was
immediately. 5 minutes from now, you're going to feel a little better. And remember, Dr. Van Hurley said that if you don't drink water, you can wilt like a flower.
Yeah, and you get skimmer, you like drive a chuck wagon through it. Just that with big, deep valleys. Big valleys of skin.
Dehydration? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you get wrinkles. Wrinkles.
From, no.
If you don't dehydrate your skin, what do you mean? You know that.
They drive a chuck wagon through your wrinkles?
Yeah, you know, it gets all deep wrinkles.
Okay. So I haven't. All right. You ready for the next tip?
Yep.
What are you chewing on?
Candy. Oh. That water. I'm going to have some water. Gonna feel better in 5 minutes.
Did you just admit that on the candy? Jake is offering you a carrot.
They were carrots. That's what you heard the crunch.
Janice, if you're gonna do that stuff, don't talk about it.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
All right. So the next thing I thought we're gonna move on since Janice has flipped her lid today. The next thing I thought we would talk about is the machine throwdown. Here's what I mean. Okay. Have you ever noticed you go to the gym and there's like three different pieces of equipment that do the same job?
Yes.
And it can be a little bit confusing. Here's how you choose.
Especially because not one person in the gym knows how to work any of it. And you try and, you know, copy someone. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry.
Well,
just had a little bit of anger in there.
Why are you copying people?
Well, because sometimes there's just nobody to ask to say, hey, how do you, and sometimes my ego is too big to say, how do you,
well, go, but, do you, but look, but there's usually a trainer. Go get the trainer on staff.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Sometimes they're hard to find.
Oh, okay. Well, but there's also like a diagram on the side of the machine usually that spells it out for you as though you were a small child. Sit here, place feet there. Insert pin here.
Yeah.
Move in this direction.
Yeah.
You're also struggling with that as well?
At times.
All right. I can't help you with that, actually. What I can do is tell you which machine is more efficient.
That would be great. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. I'm trying not to pick on you, and it's really being hard for me today because...
Good, because I'm sensitive.
You're pitching them right over the plate.
Yeah.
All right. So... You may have noticed that there are machines at the gym that do the same job. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. Have you seen the 45-degree back extension bench? It's the one, it's like a...
Do this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's at a little angle. It's at a diagonal. It's at a 45-degree angle. You place your feet on the metal plate, and the thing goes behind the heels of your feet, and you place your hips on those little pads, and then you bend all the way down towards the ground, and then you extend your torso up so it's straight. That's called the 45-degree back extension. There's also the back extension that's parallel to the ground, which is equally good. But then you may have noticed there's a machine, and it's called the pin-selected back extension. And you sit down in this machine, and you essentially hold on to the seat, and you lean back, right? So you're driving the weight back, conceivably, with your lower back. And both are supposed to work the same muscle group, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Now, here's what I want you to look for in these machines, because you may also have noticed this. Like, there's the hamstring curl where you lay down. It's called the prone hamstring curl. You lay on your tummy.
Mm-hmm.
You put your knees off the edge of the bench, place your feet under and curl towards your bum. Then there's the seated hamstring curl.
Yeah.
Right? Both are meant to do the exact same thing. Then you've got something called a pec deck, where you sit in the machine and you close your arms together to work your pecs. It's like a chest fly. Or you could do a dumbbell fly or a cable crossover, where you've got those two cables hooked up to the sides. Could be a free motion piece of equipment or what we call a jungle gym. And you pull the cables together. So how do you choose? Well, the goal here is that you want to choose a machine that uses your muscle groups more closely to the way you would use them in real life. Something that makes you to be more that makes you be more functional, that recruits more of your other muscle groups in the body, so you have to synergize. So for example, when we look at something like the prone hamstring curl versus the seated hamstring curl, the one that we want is the one where we're lying down. And
I was going to say that. That's the one that makes my body feel better.
Why is that?
The other one.
Why?
Because otherwise I use momentum. With when I'm sitting down, I cheat. I use momentum and I kick it down. Whereas the other one, I can't cheat. I have to fully bring it up.
Oh, well, that is part of it. Okay, good answer, because you're not able to swing it down. But at the same time, when you're laying on your stomach and you're prone, you're not, you notice when you sit on the hamstring curl, you lock your legs down, you artificially isolate that muscle, you bring the bar down on your legs, and you artificially isolate those hamstrings, and you function on one plane. But when you're laying down and you're doing your hamstring curl, it's requiring you to utilize more of your glutes and more of your calves, as well as your hamstrings, which allows you to be more functional, which allows you to synergize more muscle groups, which is how your body normally works. You never lock your body into a position and artificially isolate a muscle. It's not natural, and it doesn't train you in the most functional way.
Right.
So another exact example of that would be the cable crossover versus the pec deck. So the pec deck, you sit down, the bars or the either the pads where your arms go or the metal bars where your arms go are locked into place. So your path of movement is already locked in. Whereas if you use the cables, you choose the path of motion and it forces your body to synergize your triceps, your shoulders, your core strength. You're standing upright when you're moving the cables. So more muscle groups are working and you're having to stabilize at the same time as you're having to essentially push the weight forward. So you want to choose the cable crossover versus the pec deck.
Yep.
Unless, of course, you're an extreme beginner. If you're an extreme beginner and you don't have the agility or the balance yet for those stabilizer muscles or the muscle synergy, you can work your way up towards that. But if you're, you know, hitting the gym and you're a fairly fit, competent person in there, choose the cable crossover over the pec deck. Choose the prone hamstring curl over the seated hamstring curl. And now when we get to the 45-degree back extension versus the pin selected, the machine where you sit down and you hold on and you lean back. Well, first of all, most people can't maintain a neutral low back or an arch lower back position while sitting at their desks.
Hmm.
You know, you sit down and you slump over, your low back kind of gives out. Well, the worst thing you can do is that exercise with resistance. That's dangerous because there's a good chance you can get injured. And you're adding weight where what I love about the 45-degree back extension is you're using your body weight. And, of course, you get to recruit glutes, hamstring, calves, and low back.
Exactly.
Oh, look at you. You're passionate about this.
Well, because I have hurt myself on that the lean back because I've tried to, again, something happens with my ego in the gym at times, and you rack up the weight,
yeah.
And you end up pushing back with your, you know, you're not even using your lower back. You're just using momentum from the hoist from your neck and your shoulders and just to make it look good. Oh, God.
Once again, Janice is a perfect example of what not to do.
Exactly.
That must have come right after your commando spread eagle porno push-ups.
No. I still do those.
Oh.
I still do those every time I go to the gym. Just a couple. Just a couple to finish off.
Let everybody know who's boss.
Let everybody know that I can get down there.
I'm sure they're happy to know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel enlightened?
I do. No, that was cool. That was very cool because, and I didn't let you finish the book. But
no, I'm done. I could think of other examples, but you get the point, right?
Yeah.
You know, the machine that doesn't lock you into position, the machine that makes you use multiple muscle groups, the machine that
forces synergy,
exactly, functional, that forces you to determine the path of motion, that allows you to work in multiple planes, not just front and back or side to side, you know,
yeah.
All that.
Huh? No, that was very good information.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to give you a star for that one today.
Oh.
Yep, look at the star. I thought that was very, very informative.
She's actually literally wrote a
star
for me.
Beside that.
You want to take some calls?
Yep, I sure do.
Let's, why don't we do some of that.
Is waiting to talk to you.
Oh, groovy. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's going on?
I was just wanting to talk to you about like, I'm graduating in a couple of years, and I'm kind of confused about what I want to do with my life and, like, what I should, like, what job I should do, what, like, university I should go to.
Oh, wait, and, you're graduating from high school?
Yeah.
And you're worried about what you should do with your life, and you're graduating from high school in a couple of years?
Yeah.
Where, what? Why are you even thinking about that right now?
Well, I read your book, Unlimited, and, like, I just really want to have a good life, and I don't want to be an unhappy person and need to read your book, really.
Oh, okay. But, sweetheart, how old are you?
I'm 16.
Whoa. All right, you're 16. But why are you feeling all this pressure about...
Well, at my school, it's like, the teachers, like, preach it to you that you have to know what you want to do to get there. And, like, you have to know by grade 12 to go to college and stuff.
What?
I remember that.
Oh, see, no one
forced you to...
I ditched so much school, I don't remember anything.
Yeah, no, Amber, I hear you.
I don't remember. Are you serious?
Yeah, they try and make you decide, okay, what are you going to be so we can figure out what school you're going to go. And you're like, I don't know what I want to be, so I totally get it,
Amber. That's ridiculous. I'm 37 and every single day I change my mind.
Yeah, I know. I go back from, like, dietitian to athletic therapist to, I don't know.
Okay, first of all, honey, let me be really clear that you don't need, especially right now, to be locked into any sort of course or path. In fact, I would say at this particular point in your life, this is the time when you should really enjoy being unencumbered, being a free spirit, experimenting and trying out all different kinds of things, all different areas of life, traveling, seeing the world, interning. You know, this is such a great time where the future is a blank tablet. You know, you have the ability to do anything and everything. And one day you can be one thing and the next day you can be something else. So embrace that freedom. And what you're going through at 16, which is unbelievably precocious of you, is something that people go through, you know, when they're 30 or 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. I have friends that are going through it at 40 that are like, ugh, I left my job. I was in the film industry for years. I hate it. I don't know what I want to do. You know, this is something that we go through phases as an individual. And by the way, you may have a million different lifetimes and a million different careers. But the key is that no matter what you're doing, you're happy doing it. So if you wake up, my best advice for you is if you wake up one morning and you think you'd rather be dead than live that day out, and it's happening more often than not, not something you have to do in particular that you're dreading, but, you know, on the whole, you're waking up in the morning thinking you would rather be dead than go to that job, or rather be dead than do, you know, who knows what, then you need to make a shift in your path.
Yeah.
But the best thing for you to do right now, and for anybody to do when they're trying to sort of identify what road they want to go down and they're feeling lost in their lives, and because this generally applies, like I said, to older people, stop and smell the roses. Really take a minute and listen to how you feel every single day. And I call it the hot or colder game. You read about it in Unlimited, where take an inventory of how you're feeling. So if you're at the movies and you're so happy and you love it and you love film and you love movies, maybe you should work in the entertainment industry. And then you get a PA job and you work in it, you figure it out. If you love fitness... And maybe you want to coach kids. Maybe you want to become a physical therapist. Maybe you want to become a personal trainer. You explore those things and you see, God, how do I feel when I do this job? How do I feel at the end of the day? Am I feeling fulfilled? Am I feeling rewarded? Do I dread it?
Okay.
And that's what I want you to always think about. Always think about stopping in the middle of your day, in the middle, you know, every half hour, every hour on the hour. How am I feeling right now? Am I loving this? Am I hating it? Why? Is this, you know, one particular instance that's unique, or is it, as you know, an overall sentiment about my life on the whole? And then you course correct and you shift.
Okay.
So live in your truth, live in your passion, be really, really present. Okay. And at this moment in time, now I want you to take everything I said and throw it away. Okay? And I want you to just... not the being present part and then listening to your feelings, but you don't need to identify a path right now. In fact, the best thing you can do is allow life to come to you, embrace it with open arms, be present and be in the moment and see what opportunities come your way. You're so young. See what opportunities come your way. Okay. I'm 37 and I'm going through this right now. Everybody's like, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? And you know something? I've made bad choices living that way where it's like, oh my God, let me jump into something because everybody expects it of me or because I should be doing that. And now I said, you know what? I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to take a year and I'm going to really see what I want to do. And now that I've sat back, all of a sudden, everybody's coming to me. Hey, we'd really love you to host this show for us. Hey, you know, we have this show where it's, you know, we find help couples find love. Would you be involved? Oh, you know, Jillian, what do you think about a documentary style show where you spend time with women of all ages? Like, because I was like, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to see what comes to me. And I'm going to really take my time with this. So don't stress. And you don't, just allow life to come to you a little bit. And when it does, be really aware and conscious of your feelings. And whenever you love something, move towards it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I just have a quick question, too, about your body revolution.
Yes.
So I know that your book, Making the Cut, will get you, like, shredded.
Yes.
But what about the body revolution? Is that, like, similar or?
Body revolution is a Biggest Loser style program. So okay. That program is to take off a lot of weight off of somebody.
Yeah, so, I saw, like, the results on the website.
It's designed to take, like, 75 pounds off of men, 50 pounds off of women. It's designed to do that. Now, with that said, if you're somebody that wants to get shredded, what you have to do is you've got to switch the calories. Okay. So you've got to, if you don't have weight to lose, you've got to take the calories to the point of what you're burning so that you're burning fat, but you're maintaining your lean muscle. Okay. Because if you're burning too many calories and you don't have weight to lose, your body's going to start eating its own muscle. You don't have that fat to burn. So it's an incredible workout program. Keep in mind that it's progressive. So, for example, weeks 1 through 2 are for people that haven't worked out. They're beginner.
Yeah.
Weeks 3 through 4 start to get harder. Weeks 4 through 5, now you've got a hardcore workout. Weeks 11 through 12, you're going to want to be dead. They're so, so hard.
I could imagine.
So, so, so hard. So keep that in mind as well, because if you're advanced and if you're very athletic, you're going to be doing weeks 1 and 2 going, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, but just up your calories so that you don't have that huge deficit. And then it's something that you could enjoy, but it's not something you need. You're a person that could also do my, you know, $7 videos and get an insane workout. You don't need this program.
Okay.
All right, but you might like it, but you don't need it.
Okay.
All right, cutie.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah.
Cute little 16-year-old.
Hey, we got time for one more call. Okay, we are back, and Lori is waiting to talk to you.
Awesome. Lori, what's going on?
Hey, Jillian.
Hi, buddy. What's up? What's the haps? Hey.
What's the haps?
What's the haps, yo?
First off, let me say it is such an honor to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if there's anybody that I would want to talk to in the world, it would be you, because, I mean, you have helped me so much over the years, so.
Oh,
I mean, I've lost, like, 50 pounds, but.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
I've got more to go, but, you know, I'm working on it.
That's wonderful. Don't negate your accomplishment. Just say, I've lost this much weight. You don't need to say, I've got more to go, but I'm working on it. Just leave it there. That's a wonderful thing. Don't try to lessen it. That's congratulations.
Okay, well, thank you, but, you know, I owe it to you, but...
You don't, because I didn't even know you were alive until about 1 minute ago. You owe it to yourself, and so...
I know you, so I owe it to you because, I mean, like I say, I've watched you throughout the years, and I've read your books and all that, but And I'm pretty nervous right now, so probably sound stupid.
Well, don't be. I can't possibly hurt you through the phone line.
Okay.
Yeah, as much as it drives me crazy.
So, okay, so my question is this. I was reading in a health magazine, and I came across an unknown doctor. I don't know who he is, but he was talking about eating whole wheat will make you fat, or it'll make you fat in the middle. So that really had me confused, and I just thought I'd ask you that question
because
I've never heard that before.
Does this doctor have a book coming out?
He does.
Yeah. Okay. Stop right there. Okay. All right. So, all right. Let's talk about wheat for a second. You know, there are a lot of doctors out there that don't love it. Like Dr. Andrew Weil doesn't love it. The reason he doesn't love it is just because people tend to think that if it's whole wheat, it's better for you. But at the end of the day, the glycemic index, meaning the impact that whole wheat versus white bread has on your blood sugar, this is a pretty minimal difference. Whole wheat is like 77 on the glycemic index and white bread is like 80. So the difference is minimal. It's still a very high glycemic index food. So when people talk about whole grains, they want you to be having things like spelt, quinoa, barley, amaranth, things like that, not just wheat. Now, with that said, if you had organic whole wheat versus, you know, Wonder Bread, it's going to be way better. But you don't want to make wheat a huge part of your diet. You also don't need to cut it out of your diet. Wheat, you're going to find, is in just about everything. Wheat is, unfortunately, also a heavily sprayed crop. It's got a lot of pesticides on it. But this isn't why he's saying that. I'll explain why he's saying that in a minute. But if you went organic, that would be a better way to go. If you were to really get like hyper technical about what he could conceivably be talking about, there's something called lectin, which, by the way, exists in everything from beans to wheat. There's something called lectin, and it exists in those types of foods. And there are some studies that suggest that possibly it blocks our leptin receptors. Leptin is a hormone that helps us fight hunger. It helps us feel more full. It's called the satiety hormone. So theoretically, doctors have now decided that lectins are bad. And this could be one of the reasons, because they block our leptin receptors. Another thing is they've got this protein that I have a really hard time pronouncing called a gliadin protein. And they say that it can function as an appetite stimulant. So here's the theory behind this. Number one, they're saying that it impacts blood sugar the way that white bread impacts blood sugar. Okay, but at the end of the day, if you're watching your calories, you know, and you're eating sensibly, like, you can work wheat into your diet. There's a ton of wheat in my diet. I have Ezekiel muffins. There's wheat in that. You know, if I have a whole grain cereal, there's going to be wheat in that. You know, I don't have a gluten allergy and I don't have celiac disease. There's wheat in my foods. I probably get it in at least two of the four meals that I eat a day, and I'm perfectly healthy. So, and then, you know, if they wanted to make a case for it, you could get into the gliadin protein appetite stimulant, or that it blocks, you know, leptin. So the argument could be that it conceivably makes you hungrier. But once again, if, you know, if you're consuming it with protein and fiber and veggies and all of that, and you're hydrated and you're watching how much you're eating, then that's also not true. Some doctors will tell you that it's estrogenic. I will tell you that it's nowhere near as estrogenic as soy. I would say to you, you know, remember that someone's got to write a new diet book.
Yeah.
So, right. So I, how much weight have you lost?
50.
And were you eating wheat?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and end the conversation there.
Okay.
So my point is just you could go nuts with doctors telling you. I mean, honestly, I sit in rooms with these doctors all day long, and I had one doctor who I happen to love and really respect tell me that beans were poisonous, the worst food on the planet. That they, you know, if he gave me 5 raw kidney beans, I would die instantly because they were poisonous, and they have all these lectins in them, and they mimic these proteins and they destroy your arteries. And you know what, by the way, he could be right. And I'm like, well, I just read a whole article by another cardiologist who said that the resistant starch and the antioxidants and the phytonutrients in beans are the best thing for you on the planet. So the reality is everyone's going to come out with a study about a food that kills you. At the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, buddy, count your calories. Go organic whenever you can. And if there was something to worry about here, you wouldn't have lost 50 pounds.
Right. Well, I mean, I didn't take it for what it was worth, unless I asked you, because your ways have always proven to work. And
it's not a superfood either, though. Let me be clear. It's not the best grain on the planet, but it's not something you need to live in fear of. And if you run around going, oh, my God, I can't have this cracker. It has wheat. Holy cow, I can't have this whole grain bread. It has wheat. Oh, geez, I can't have this cereal. It has wheat. You're going to make yourself bananas. Bananas. Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just really curious that, you know, like I said, I don't know. I've always eaten the whole wheat because I've heard it was just better for you. And even the whole wheat pasta, I've gone to that.
Well, spelt is going to be better for you, truthfully. Spelt or whole grains, multiple different kinds of grains in the bread. Brown rice pasta is also a good option. They make a quinoa pasta that's also a good option. So whole wheat is by no means a superfood. It's not super for you, but it's also not the end of the world either. Think of it that way.
Okay, well, good. That really helps.
All right, sweetheart. Well, I'm glad I could help, and congratulations on your weight loss.
Well, thank you, Jillian.
You have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. She appreciates it.
Bye, Lori.
That's a good question, actually. I love that she was doing her homework.
Yeah.
I think that's impressive.
All right. We got to end the show.
All right.
But I just realized how that sounds.
All right.
but you have to, you got to do a plug here.
Oh, I do.
Yes, you do.
Which one is it?
This one here. Oh,
the Weight Loss Navigator.
That one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I have to do a plug because they're paying for part of this shindig. And of course, it is one of my products, so I guess I should.
You know, girls gotta do what a girl's
I guess I
do.
Should. Okay, so guys, you may have seen, you guys know I have this thing called the Body Media Fit Armband. And it's this little device that goes on your upper arm, and it essentially tracks all the calories that you burn in a day, your sleep efficiency. It has 5,000 data points. It captures 5,000 data points off your body a minute. Isn't that neat?
Oh, wow.
That's sort of how it does it. It tracks like when you move, the way heat dispenses from your skin, your blood pressure, all this crazy stuff. Anyway, it's neato. So what it does is it tells us, you, how many calories you're burning in a day, which is cool. But in addition to that, it has a thing in there for you to log your food. So you enter the food that you've eaten, and you can, by the way, set meals. So let's say, for example, you have this one dinner and you've entered it in. Well, if you eat that dinner a lot, you can just click on it and the device will automatically know how many calories. So you don't have to sit there and go, oh my God, I got to enter in the, you know, noodle wraps or the lettuce wraps again. So it's got a little food logging device, and at the end of the day, it shows you how many calories you've burned. But what the 360 Weight Loss Navigator is it's actually a program that I created through JillianMichaels.com. And so it helps me, you tell me your goal, and then I create the weight loss program for you. I create the diet for you. I create the workouts for you. And then the device is going to tell us when you're on track and when you're off track. It's kind of, it's very Big Brother. Because it sends me messages and it tells me when you're not doing it. Isn't that awful? It emails us and it tells us when you're not hitting your goal. And then I respond and tell you what to do.
Oh,
and sometimes I'm nice about it. Sometimes I'm like, hey, buddy, you're a couple hundred calories away from where we agreed you should be today. Take a few calories out of dinner. Or why don't you take, you know, this much out of dinner and then hit the gym for another 20 minutes doing X, Y, and Z to hit your burn. But then if you're like way off, I get really annoyed. I'm like, hey, but when you do a really good job.
Yeah.
It, so I constantly give you feedback throughout the day on your goal. Plus,
that's
of course,
pretty darn cool.
It is. I'm not going to kid you. It is, it's super cool. The problem with it is it's not cheap. So I'm not going to pretend like it is cheap. It's an expensive device. But the reality is it's awesome. I mean, it does. You've seen the contestants on Biggest Loser. They used to have an older version called a Body Bug.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob and I mean, it was invaluable for us because it allowed us to see, you know, how much they were burning, how much they were eating. It didn't have this feedback device or this goal setting,
right,
or it didn't create workouts or meal plans like the program does with, mm-hmm, the device. But yeah, no, it's really awesome. And of course, the program also has like challenges, community support, and everything. It's neato. But it's $180. It's not cheap.
But you,
I know. I wish I was. I'm sorry. And I know the times are tough. But it is. It's a pretty intense piece of equipment. So.
You can't see us, though, right? You can only hear our data.
I can hear your data.
Okay.
But I can't see you. I know. Isn't that nuts? I love it because for me, it allows me to have direct contact with my consumer. I can literally coach them based on what goals we've set and where they're at within that context of we agreed you'd be here today. You're here today. Make these following changes, and it's a little nutty.
Okay, I'm gonna get because the little, only reason I'm gonna get it is because no, you can't see me.
I can give one to you for God's sake.
As long as you can't see, because
I can't give one to everybody, but I can give one to you.
Sometimes I wear plaid.
Email my assistant. Tell her to get you one of these bad boys.
I'm kidding.
Sometimes you wear plaid.
I just want
don't ever wear plaid. Plaid. You wear plaid?
Sometimes when I do the horses, I...
What do you mean you do the horses? Holy for schlugging. Is this the show where she says she doesn't want to date a carrot?
No.
Oh, is that a different show?
That's a different show. No, my sister's leg is still broken, so I'm helping sometimes dung out the horse barn. And, it's, you know, when you dung out a horse barn, well, you know, you've dunged out a horse barn. It's a lot of...
I don't clean horse poop. I have help that cleans
you have
the
people.
Horse poop.
Well, I help my sister, and so I often wear plaid.
Well, when you board a horse, they clean their poop.
Well, my sister has her horses at her place.
This is California, dude. We don't have horses in the backyard, really, unless you have a ranch in, like, Santa Clarita.
No, well, oh, my God.
Oh, Janice. Okay. Don't wear horse plaid to clean that horse. What you're doing is you're adding insult to injury. It's unattractive enough that you're shoveling horse manure, but then you're doing it in plaid, which is equally atrocious.
You know what?
Just, the truth is the truth, girl.
Okay, I'm going to, next time I see you, I'm going to wear the horse plaid jacket.
You know what
I'm
we haven't done? We haven't made a fart sound in a while, and I think it's appropriate.
No,
here's
no.
Janice cleaning out horse poop.
What happened? Jake, shut up.
Have you ever heard a horse fart?
Yeah.
Bus has the worst gas. I swear to God, that horse rips one, and it goes on for like a minute. It's like... Still going.
Oh
really,
God.
I mean, I die, and there's people around, and they're looking at them, and it's like...
Stop it.
It's the truth.
Oh,
the truth.
Please, Jake, shut it off until...
Is the show over?
The show's over. Oh, it's over, all right.
Okay, bye.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.